Welcome to the Incision Film Podcast Extra Film segment for December 11th, 2013. I'm JD Duran.
And I'm Scott Pollard.
And on this week's Extra Film segment, we're going to do a double review. These are two movies we've been trying to do for a couple weeks now with Dallas Buyers Club and Philomena, which are two movies that I'm really ready to talk about. But before we get into it, though, Scott, how's your week going so far?
Week's going pretty well, man. This is it's been busy, but it's been cold, but it's a hump day, so hey, we're halfway there. What about you?
Very nice. Going off of a short week, obviously, because I didn't have to work Monday because I was getting back from vacation and all that sort of stuff, so I feel like so much has happened the last 2 days, and for it to already be Wednesday is, I can't even believe it. Well, I'll probably talk about it a little bit on the podcast this weekend, but I did watch Touch of Evil that you recommended on the show last week, and I loved it. I thought it was very good.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was very, very good stuff. But yeah, very busy week so far, but I'm ready for the weekend to get here already.
Yeah, I feel you. Me too.
All right, well, let's get into it.
And here we go.
Against you, a weak defense, then there's me. I'm 17, looking for a fight. All my life, I was never there, just a ghost, running scared. Here our dreams are made, the one. Lost in the city of angels, down in the comfort of strangers.
You're listening to the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film segment. So, Scott, how much weight would you be willing to lose for a role?
What about how much weight am I willing to gain? Because I don't know if I'm willing to lose any, but I will eat all day. So, yeah, we'll do the other way around.
Arigato.
What are you doing here?
Well, I live here.
Where's Rayon? Your roommates?
Not exactly. What are you doing here?
Roger Thompson. This is my patient. You treating these people?
Oh, they're treating themselves.
With what?
Vitamins, peptide T, DDC, anything but that poison you're hawking. So you ever wear any color? Seems like every time I see you, all I see is white. You got white coat, white shoes, white.
Tell Rayon I was looking for him, and I am telling my patients to stay away from here.
Why?
Excuse me.
So you want to go grab steak sometime? I know it's red.
All right, Dallas Buyers Club is directed by Jean-Marc Vallée and stars Matthew McConaughey, Jennifer Garner, Jared Leto, and a few other people as well. So, Scott, a lot of people have been liking this movie, a lot of hype on the performances. What did you think about Dallas Buyers Club?
Well, this is definitely another notch on the belt of Matthew McConaughey this year. I mean, you can barely recognize him some in this movie, which is pretty amazing, you know? So I think that's the main takeaway from Dallas Buyers Club for me is how good Matthew McConaughey was, how far he went to be this guy, and just how interesting it was to watch him. The rest of it, I was a little mixed on, but we'll get into that. What did you think about it, basically?
Well, I guess for overall general thoughts, I really liked this movie quite a bit. I think I ended up liking it a little bit better than you did. I liked the aesthetic that the director sets here. You definitely feel like you're back into like the mid to late 80s. With the aesthetic and the clothes that people are wearing and all that sort of stuff. And so I liked how they set the tone right away. But like you said, The big thing here that is obviously going to stand out, that everyone really knows already, is their performances. And for me, it wasn't just Matthew McConaughey, but Jared Leto was just as amazing here. And I thought both of these guys were able to just disappear into these roles. And this is the first time we've seen Leto in 5 years. So it's pretty interesting to see him back on the big screen and to be in this role. And he does a great job. And we can get into more of that later. But yeah, like you said, Matthew McConaughey in top form, as we've seen from him a lot lately, and really going back to maybe his last 7-8 films, he's just really turned his career around like none other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be any argument there. I think where the argument is going to come from with you and I is definitely within the script, where some of it seems a little bit choppy to some people, maybe a little bit messy. What did you think about the script, and how does that maybe bring this film down for you a little bit?
Well, first of all, I should say I really like this story. You know, I really like the true story this is based on, and I am glad that they picked this to do, because frankly, I didn't know about this specific guy. So sure. It's pretty neat. You know, I thought that was nice. I think that their intentions were very respectful, in that they wanted to address all these different issues going on in America at this time and still today,
sure.
You know, regarding homosexuality and AIDS and things like that. So, you know, and there's a lot more thrown in there too, but that was mainly where I had the problem. I feel like they could have picked just one or two things and just focused more on them, because there was so much going on that I just couldn't keep up. There was drugs, there was, you know, border control stuff at the beginning, towards the beginning. Sure. It's just so much stuff going on that I feel like it just kind of lessened the main thing here for me, which was, you know, this Ron Woodruff character and how he deals with being, you know, diagnosed with AIDS. That's really what I liked about this movie the most, and I wish it had just been more about that than the rest sure. of the stuff, you know. But I don't know. What did you think about that?
Well, what I think about the movie, I like the movie a lot, as I said earlier. And I actually like the story, as you kind of mentioned. For me, I actually just really like the story. And for the most part, I was never distracted. But I will say, this is, I feel like I'm in this like weird zone, because I liked what was going on. And I liked being able to see the different dimensions and different areas of these guys' life. But you're really right. Like your criticisms are more than valid, and I absolutely see your point, and I'm not going to be able to argue you on that, because this movie does have a lack of focus. It is in a lot of different areas, and when you take back and you're just looking at the story itself, it definitely touches on a lot of different areas of Ron Woodruff's life that you kind of touched on, because there's the drug elements, there's his relationship with Rayon, there's, you know, he's trying to take on the government, and then there's his business and him flying overseas. And so there's a lot of different things going on that I feel like you could get confused on, that you might take a step back and go on, like, what is really going on with this story? But I think if you just really look at what's really going on, if you just stay at the surface, I guess, and not really try to confuse yourself, the story is, to me, I think, is it's really good, and it's really fascinating, of a guy that's diagnosed with AIDS that is not, very different than the demographic of the mid-80s that normally had AIDS. You know, he's very homophobic. He's almost like kind of afraid to be around that kind of environment at all. And in fact, there's one scene where when he first tells a friend of his that he has AIDS, they give him a hard time about that. And he's not even sure how to react to it. So that, to me, was interesting. I think it was just interesting to see the character react to these different elements. And that, to me, I think is what made the story interesting to me, even though it is a little bit choppy and a little bit messy. And they focus on a lot of different things instead of having one main focus. But seeing the character's reactions to all of that stuff was interesting to me, especially with McConaughey's performance.
Yeah, and I think one key thing there that I will agree with you on is that, you know, you do see him deal with these changes, and there's something to be said about a character that goes through all this stuff, and you really see an older kind of guy. Well, he's not that old, but he is old enough to where you usually typically don't see a lot of change in these people. You know, he changes a lot, and it's pretty cool to see that, and it's pretty cool to see why he changes, and, you know, what people will, how people can affect you. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah,
so I definitely liked that part of it too. I like I said, my main gripes are just that with all this other stuff that I didn't really care about. I think that it's good, though. See, I'm so back and forth on it because I think that it's good that this introduces all these things to new, like, people that aren't familiar with this material. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Maybe not everybody has seen How to Survive a Plague, the documentary, you know, about AIDS that taught me all this stuff last year. But, it's not that widely known. So to bring it to a modern mainstream audience this way, using Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner and Leto, it's all, you know, it's all cool. Like,
sure.
But I just felt like, you know, maybe like I enjoyed it. I just didn't love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get that because it does go to different areas and it deals with a lot of different elements and you might like one things and not like some other things. For me, I liked seeing the different reactions, but I will say that I kind of wish that they would have focused just more on the transformation of the character itself. You know, because like we were saying, he's a little bit homophobic to begin with. In fact, the first time we see that he finds out he has AIDS, he goes to this group that kind of deals with that and kind of encourages each other, this kind of support yeah. group. And what's really interesting is he goes to walk in, you see a male open the door for him and he kind of stands there and just kind of stares at the guy and is like, what are you doing? Like he doesn't even know how to react to it. So he's just, you could tell right away, it's very weird for him. He's very homophobic and he just is kind of wanting to deal with this on his own until he meets Rayon. And then from there, there's this kind of transformation that starts to happen over time that is more interesting. And I kind of wish that they would have stayed a little focused on that. And I would agree with the criticisms there that maybe the story should have stayed there. Because for me, from the moment he goes to the support group, all the way through his relationship with Rayon, he starts to become someone completely different. And that was pretty fascinating, I think.
It was, and you know, just to talk about that for a sec. I mean, this Rayon character is very interesting because this is somebody that you know Ron would normally, not even look at, you know, in the face.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then through the movie, we see them become friends, even though he really never really likes it. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't fully accept Rayon, but he kind of figures out that this is my companion. You know, like we're going through this thing together, and I like that. You know,
absolutely. And I think he kind of came to that point where he had to realize that he has to accept this thing about his life now. Like he can either ignore it and die. In fact, there was a scene where he was in the hospital bed and he's like, I'm out of here. I'm not just going to lay here and die, which was pretty funny. And McConaughey played that really well. But he could have chose that, but instead he went to do something about it. So yeah, when he meets Rayon's character, it's pretty fascinating. And he just learns to accept that, especially once his other friends pretty much disown him at that point. And we see that transformation. And to me, where you see some, perhaps the peak of it, which I guess to me is one of the downers because I wish they would have continued with this, as I said. But when we see him at a grocery store, he's kind of standing up for Rayon's character with an old friend as they bump into him at the grocery store. And I liked that. I liked seeing that transformation, and I liked seeing him kind of stand up for Rayon even in midst of knowing that when he does this, when he chooses this action publicly, it's going to say something about him. But he doesn't care at that point. He's accepted. He's learned about his disease, and he's moving forward to save his life. And to me, that was cool. And I kind of wish they would have stayed on that boat, though. And I would agree with that.
And I really liked that scene a lot. It was really powerful. You know, like for whatever reason, it seemed very realistic. It was just well done in that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you know, did you know as he goes along and he gets AIDS and it becomes a major effect on his body, how, you know, what did you think about Matthew McConaughey's like physicality, you know, when it got really bad? Was it as scary to you as it was to me?
Well, he definitely does look pretty weak. He's very pale. And he definitely doesn't look healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you that for sure. He definitely looks very sick. And, you know, I can't remember the exact number that McConaughey said, but he said he got down to like 120 or something like that. Something that just seems like it's just not healthy for someone his size. But he definitely looked like he was pretty sick. And I think with the coughing and some of the blood, and some of it comes across a little bit graphic in terms of that, even though, you know, it's not violent, but it's just that man, I never want to find myself in that position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it doesn't look just like some anorexic guy. It looks like a sick person.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, it's pretty incredible how they, not only his transformation, but how they made him look, you know, with the visuals. I mean, yeah, I was really impressed by that.
And I thought with Leto's character, it was a lot of the same way too. Like as the film kind of progressed, as his character got worse and worse, I feel like you could see that in his physicality as well. And both actors, I thought, brought that to screen really well.
Yeah, and as you wrote in your review, it's definitely his best career performance. So
absolutely. One thing that I definitely want to bring up that I think is kind of interesting is even though the story kind of focuses on this a little bit and maybe it could have been less lessened, I do like it in the sense that it gives us a little bit of the bigger scale of what these guys were having to deal with, because we see Ron's character kind of battle with the U.S. government, and the FDA, and the medical community, which all of the behind-the-scenes stuff with that I thought was fascinating still. Even though it kind of took away from the focus of the story, I still thought it was interesting to see kind of the medical background of this and how the hospitals were choosing their drugs, how they were treating their patients, how they were going about treating the disease as a whole. I thought it was just interesting enough to see that and to see Ron's reaction to all of that and how he learns to fight it. And I like the dynamics there, even though it kind of took away from the focus of the script a little bit.
Yeah. And especially, I tell you, where that was done best is those scenes where they're questioning Woodruff, you know, like they're questioning him, how did you get these drugs and things like that. Like those worked the most for me. I mean, you know, it's just kind of showing you that the FDA, they kind of, you know, fly by the seat of their pants. You know, they're not really sure what's going on most of the time. They're just trying to do the best they can. And so it's interesting. I'd agree with you. I love those scenes.
Yeah, so I thought it was very good, and I had a good time with that. And it was never too distracting for me, although I do understand the criticisms for sure. I know, though, that you have one major weakness of the movie outside of the script that can go back and forth, but I know you didn't like one of the performances, though, either.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner here, which I hate to say because I wanted her to – I really would like to see her, you know, be an Academy Award-winning type of actress because I feel like she's got some charm to her. But I almost feel like she was, like, in the audience or something for this movie. I feel like she's just kind of watching the other guys perform and she's just saying her lines. And I don't know. I just didn't get a lot out of her, you know. She just didn't seem to
– Well, she probably was blown away by the transformation and the acting that was going on around her.
Yeah, no, if she lost that much weight, she may be dead. So,
I'll say, you know, and I kind of touched on this when we talked about it on our main shows, but I didn't have as big a problem with her as you did. I will say, though, that she does look very average comparatively to the rest of the performances around her because they are so great. But I didn't think she was necessarily terrible, but I didn't think she was great either. She was just right in the middle. She was pretty average, right. You know, but McConaughey and Leto, they steal the show and they're fantastic. Sure. And their dynamics together are amazing. And I think that's also important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely felt the chemistry going, you know, it's one of the better pairs this year as far as that goes.
Sure. One other quick thing that I just want to mention is that this movie has no traditional score either. But it has a lot of soundtrack music that helps kind of enhance the story and enhance the aesthetic and stuff that's going on, which I thought was really great. I really love this soundtrack. You can go and listen to it on Spotify and probably on YouTube and other things, but it's really good. Of course, 30 Seconds to Mars has a nice little song in here as well. They have an acoustic version of City of Angels, which I think is fantastic. But everything about the soundtrack I think is really great. I've listened to it several times. It's very good, and I thought it added a nice touch to what the film was trying to do.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the soundtrack a lot. You know, this was a cool way to integrate some new music into an 80s type setting movie. So yeah, I really enjoyed Tegan and Sarah, you know, and there was some My Morning Jacket as well.
Yeah.
Which is a Kentucky band, so I always like to give them a shout out.
I like their song in it, though. It's really good, yeah.
It is. And so, I liked it, too. I'm with you, man.
Yeah, it's very good. Neon Trees also had a really good one. Manchester Orchestra also had a really good song. Yeah, I mean, it's really great. I love the soundtrack, and I love how they integrated all of that. I thought it was very good. All right, well, any final thoughts, and what grade would you give Dallas Buyers Club?
Well, final thoughts, I had a good time watching this movie, and it was definitely no big disappointment or anything. It's not going to be on my top 10 or maybe even 20 list, but I do think there's a lot here, especially for people who have not gotten familiar with this material before. I think there's a lot to get for mainstream audiences. So I do recommend it if you haven't seen it. Of course, if you're listening to this, you probably have, but I will be recommending it to people just based on the McConaughey, performance. What about you? Oh, wait, and my grade. And sorry, my grade is, what did I give it? I think I gave it a B.
A B? You know? Okay. Yeah. For me, I really like this movie. I think it's incredibly moving. It's really all about the performances. I think if you had some high expectations for this movie or for the story itself, you may find yourself a little bit disappointed. As we touched on, the story does lack a little bit of focus, but the movie isn't as much about the script as it is about the two characters within the story. And they have a hard time, and it's about the transformation and about them just kind of getting through and fighting for survival. And I liked that. I liked seeing that transformation, and I liked seeing how they were able to change each other's lives. And it really took the two of them together in order for that to happen. And for me, that made up for whatever the script was lacking. So I loved it. I won't be surprised if McConaughey and Leto are both nominated for Oscars or other awards. We've already seen Leto win a couple of supporting roles already. And so, it's great. I would highly, highly recommend it. I give it a grade of an A. I really enjoy this movie quite a bit. But anyway, be sure to go check out my full review of this up on the website. And we also have a video review from John from Second Rate Report. All of that is up on our site at incessionfilm.com.
And we'd love to hear your take on Dallas Buyers Club. So leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/incessionfilm or tweet us at incessionfilm. You can leave us a comment on our Google Plus page or on Letterboxd. Our usernames are InSessionFilm on both of those. And you can also email us at InSessionFilm@gmail.com.
All right, next we're going to be talking about one of the better small films of the year in Philomena. I cannot wait to talk about it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Listening to the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film Segment.
JD, are the food portions really that big in the U.S.?
Well, if the 18-ounce steak I had earlier for dinner is any indication.
Now we're getting closer. All these years wondering whether Anthony was in trouble or in prison or goodness knows where. But as long as I didn't know, I could always tell myself he was happy somewhere and that he was doing all right.
Don't upset yourself.
What if he was obese?
Obese.
I watched this documentary that says a lot of Americans are huge. What if that happened to him?
What on earth makes you think he'd be obese?
Because of the size of the portions.
All right, Philomena is directed by Stephen Frears and stars Judi Dench, Steve Coogan, and that's pretty much it. So, Scott, what did you think about Philomena?
Well, to tell you what I knew about Philomena before going in, I thought you pronounced it Philomena, so obviously I was very uneducated on this going into it. So I really was surprised to hear this story because I had not heard about it before, and to realize it was a true story, it was pretty incredible. I love Philomena. It's definitely one of my favorite small movies of the year. And Judi Dench, man, she really impressed me here in her old age.
Yeah.
So, it just couldn't be better for me, really, to be honest. What about you?
I loved it. I thought it was very good. And again, while the story is great, to me, this is also another film that as about the performances. I just feel like they just really enhance the story that is going on here. And this is definitely a pretty engaging story, one that I think you can get on board with rather quickly. And you just kind of feel for Judi Dench's character, and you're kind of automatically grabbed onto what she's doing. And I think that's pretty interesting. And the story is kind of a story within itself, which is pretty interesting and in how they kind of go about it. But yeah, overall general thoughts, this is definitely a movie you want to see. It's very sweet. It's charming, and Coogan and Dench are just amazing together. And they're funny, and they just have some really brilliant moments. And I thought everything just kind of came together just almost flawlessly.
Yeah, and you know, you said it right in that you feel for Philomena. She's going through something here where you know, she's going through a lot of bad stuff, yet she handles it with such grace. And you know, the things that happen in the movie to her, you don't feel like you're watching them happen to somebody else. Like, you feel like you're watching it from Philomena's perspective.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, Judi Dench just did an amazing job of making herself so realistic. I don't know what you would say, but, you know, I don't know what you call it exactly. You just, like you say, you go identify with everything she's dealing with immediately. It's just unbelievable to me how she transformed into this character.
Yeah, and I love how they use flashbacks that kind of set up her character. I thought all of that was really great, and kind of how it comes back to the church or whatever you want to call it, where she grew up. And I love how that use of that and how it kind of went back and forth. And when we finally get to see Judi Dench and as this character in her older age, and she kind of goes back for the first time, I guess, in a little while, and with Steve Coogan's character. And there's a moment where she kind of goes back to where
the gate.
Yeah, she goes back to this gate where she just kind of experienced this heartache the first time around. And you kind of see that pain on her face all over again. It's like it's happening to her all over again. And that was just so fascinating to me. And it's at that moment that you really start to get on board with this character if you haven't already. And you're like, man, that's such a hard thing for anyone to experience, and you're automatically on board at that point.
Yeah, you are. And I'll tell you one key thing, other than just being in that familiar place, you know, a couple of times, different, you know, on the timeline, is the girl that played her, the young Philomena, Sophie Kennedy Clark. She did a phenomenal job, I thought. You know,
she was great.
I really believed her. I mean, it was very heartbreaking seeing her lose this child as a young girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you see the dynamics from the young Philomena now back to the old, to me, I just feel like it's the same person. You really do kind of feel that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, you definitely feel for her as she's kind of going along and then trying to figure out what happened with her son and all this other sort of stuff. And once they get to the United States, to me, it's it's funny because there's a lot of interesting dynamics going on there that is supposed to be funny, but it's also very dramatic at the same time. And so I love the back and forth of how they flipped your feelings on that. I thought it was really cool.
And also, how awesome was the Big Mama's House reference? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really great. And that it's also during one of those moments where we get the little setup that we had to the clip where she's talking about U.S. food and portions and whatever bigger fears was that her son was overweight.
That was so hilarious. He's like, why do you think he's obese? She's like, well, the portions. <For something. laughs> That was such a hilarious scene.
Yeah. It's so great. So it's really funny. I also love when they're going up to get breakfast and she's talking to this Latino guy and she just assumes that he's Mexican. Yeah. Just start making these Mexican references. And so that ignorance is funny, and it's just really well done. Even though
it's almost like, you know, when you're with an older relative, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
Like, you want to see how they're going to react. Like, that's how cool she was, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was very magnetic. I thought she did a very good job with it. And I thought Steve Coogan was really good, too. And he was kind of the great counterpart to that because he was very serious and he was trying to do his job. And And in some of those instances, he was almost kind of fighting her a little bit and was like, come on, let's just keep going. Or he was trying to ignore her, like, as she's telling him the story about book that she read or whatever. Hilarious. Very funny. Yeah. And he plays it so the opposite way. And I thought their dynamics and their contrast was very amazing. I thought it was very good.
Yeah. I mean, it was really one of the better, you know, male-female dynamics of the year, in my opinion. And not in any kind of love story kind of way, you know? It was just almost like a mother and son type of thing. It was just so realistic and hilarious, like you said, how he deals with her and his reactions on his face and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great.
Yeah, it was very, very, very good. On the more serious...
I'd like to see him in more, you know?
With Steve Coogan?
Yeah, I'd like to see him in more stuff. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of roles here in America. So
yeah, he was on Conan, I think, the other night, or at least I watched him from when he was on Conan a little bit ago. And you know, hearing him talk and just kind of promoting the movie and talking about it, he just seems like a really cool, down to earth guy. That I'd love to see him in more stuff for sure. Something on the more serious side of things, though, that I really enjoyed. And this has to be kind of handled well, I think, for the masses to really get on board with. But I really love the religious themes and aspects they explored here. I thought was really interesting because they were kind of bordering that line of, you know, do you believe in God? Do you not believe in God? And of course, we have two characters that are on opposite sides of the fence here. So that only adds to those dynamics that we've already seen and that we've already been talking about anyway. And by the end of it, it's kind of this interesting thing because we see Steve Coogan's character, who is not believing in God, kind of fighting for Philomena in kind of using the religion aspect against the church people she grew up with. And she uses it from a forgiveness standpoint to kind of let go of all that. And I thought all of that and how it was handled was really, really interesting. And they kind of turned it on its head for both characters. And I just loved it. I thought they played it really, really well.
Yeah. And in, you know, the moments that he kind of reconciles those thoughts with her beliefs is pretty cool because, he recognizes, he's like, she's way better than I could ever be.
Sure.
And this happened to her, you know, and I'm sitting here criticizing them more than she is.
Yeah.
So it was so impressive. You know, if there were ever a true Christian in the room, I believe it was her in those scenes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess a word that comes to mind when you, in the moment that you're talking about, and again, I don't want to spoil it, but the word that comes to mind there is redemption and how it kind of fits that theme, and it kind of fits really his character in a lot of ways, and kind of, you're right, there's a moment where he notices that and he sees something about himself that he's like, oh, okay, I don't quite get it, but I see there's something there. But they didn't necessarily go too far one side or the other. I thought they played it on that line really well.
Yeah, and I think though that those scenes are really powerful, you know, even to me, I'll admit, you know, it's very you know, it makes me just feel that, you know, it's not worth it sometimes to get so upset about these people who are religious and blindly believe stuff, because it does make a lot of people better people than they would be otherwise. So, you know, it was powerful. I mean, honestly, it could be a life-changing movie for some people. You know,
it really could. Yeah, it really could, depending on where you sit and things going on in your life. It really could be one of those moments. And I kind of had that thought too, and I kind of wrote it down in my notes that, man, if you're really dealing with something and you're dealing with unforgiveness in a lot of ways, this is a movie that deals with in a pretty interesting way. And I don't think it necessarily has to come down to religion or anything like that. I just feel like they deal with the theme in a really interesting way, and it's not necessarily offensive, or it doesn't force any religion or anything on you. They just kind of explore it in a really great way.
And it's handled so well that you can respect both sides, you know, both people, and it never judges either. You know, it's so cool how they did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The forgiveness aspect of it reminded me a lot of a documentary I watched last year of a Jewish lady who survived one of the concentration camps, and she was forgiving the Nazis. You know, she was forgiving him publicly. She was like, we forgive you. And then the other Jewish people were not wanting her to do that. You know, they were really against her. So I think that this is one of those stories that shows kind of like Philomena was able to forgive, you know, but there's a lot of people who would not be able to. So
absolutely.
You know, it's a really powerful gesture on her part, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 1000% agree with that. It's really, really good. And they do handle it well. Oh, and one other thing too, that I just wanted to mention real quick is that when she finds out what really happened to her son, I was immediately taken back to Dallas Buyers Club and learning and remembering how all of the details that went into the back end for that stuff. I was immediately kind of taken back to that moment and going, oh, well, I just saw a film that kind of dealt with a lot of that same stuff and how those people were treated and things like that. So I feel like I kind of had a sense of, oh, like I kind of understand a little bit more about that character, even though we don't really know him or see him a whole lot. So I just thought it was an interesting touch, and that doesn't necessarily add or take away anything from the movie. It was just something for me personally that I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is neat when you can relate it to something recent like that. It's pretty cool, all the connections you can make, you know, between movies.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, any final thoughts, and what grade would you give Philomena?
You know, final thoughts is for this one, it's just that I feel like, you know, maybe you've already seen it if you're listening to this, but if you haven't, you should definitely see it. It's one of the better stories of the year, and it's got great performances too. So, I mean, I don't know what else you could want out of a movie, really. You don't, even though it's a tragic story and it's based on a true story that, you know, is very widely acknowledged now, it's still an uplifting movie. You know, it's taking something negative and making it positive, and what's better than that, really? You know, so
yeah.
I loved it. I had to give it an A+.
I guess the kind of start for me is I want to know what the MPAA was thinking when they initially rated this R.
Yeah,
you've got to be kidding me. There is nothing even close that is rated R in this movie. They say two F words throughout the whole thing. And to me, I feel like one, they were both appropriate for the time, and they were very appropriate for the character and how he was using them. That does not make that movie rated R. I don't care if he used it five times. That movie is not even close to an R rating. So this movie is great. I'm glad that they moved it down to PG-13. And it's fantastic.
As it should be.
It should be, absolutely. Go see this movie. As you said, it's a great movie that features some amazing performances. The characters have some really great and captivating dynamics between the two of them, and it's just a movie that you'll want to see. You'll walk out of the theater knowing that you experienced something that will take your emotions up and down throughout the whole thing, and it's a full experience. I guess that's the best way to explain
absolutely.
It. It's really good. It's a great small movie. I don't know if it'll have any awards implications or not, but it's definitely worth seeing regardless. It's really great.
Absolutely.
I gave it an A+ as well. But anyway, be sure to go see a full review of this up on the website. Scott has a really great review of this on the site, so be sure and go and check that out at InSessionFilm.com.
And again, we love your feedback. Leave us a comment on the website at InSessionFilm.com or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Also, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes to hear all of our main podcasts and the extra film reviews. And while you're on iTunes, leave us a review. We've got a contest going on right now where you can win, you know, a couple DVDs, a couple Blu-rays. So why not leave a review and get into that drawing? Also, you know, we have a really good weekly newsletter we send out every week. You can sign up for that by clicking on the newsletter tab on our Facebook page at In Session Film or on InSessionFilm.com/newsletter.
The In Session Film podcast is supported by awesome listeners like you. Our premium podcast, which we actually just have two new premium podcasts that are now up on the website right now. You can go and check out. And you can also go to InSessionFilm.bandcamp.com to see all of that. Anyway, be sure and go and check all that out. All the premium podcasts, all of the donations we get go directly into supporting the show. So we really appreciate everyone that does that. You can also hear every single thing that we do on our mobile app, which is just a one-time fee for $1.99. And you can find that app on the Amazon market for Android devices and on the podcast box app for iOS devices. All of those details are on the website at InSessionFilm.com/apps. And that'll pretty much do it for this week's Extra Film podcast. Be sure to go check out our latest podcast on episode 42, where we reviewed Out of the Furnace, and we discussed our top three family revenge movies, and we kind of did a December preview that was really awesome and a lot of fun. And we had a really good time, so be sure and go and check that out. We also have a new poll on the website that we'd love for you to go and check out. where we simply are asking how excited for you to go see The Hobbit. And I know, Scott, you're really excited, right?
Oh, yeah. As excited as one can be, probably. Above the age of 12 or something. Anyway.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, be sure and go and check out that poll and be sure to vote on it. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And actually, so far, looking at the results, there are a lot of people that are excited for it. So that's I don't want to down any of those people. I'm more in the, we'll see how it goes. But we do have the guys from the MGC TV podcast coming on this weekend, so I'm really, really excited to talk about that.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Scott, before we get out of here, any final thoughts?
A couple things. Hopefully we can get the blue as the warmest color here when it finally comes out.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for it for a couple months.
All right. This
also,
weekend.
Yeah. Also, just want to thank the people who donate. You know, if you're donating to the site, we really appreciate it. And just the fact that you will take the time to do that and give us some of your hard-earned money, we really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely appreciate it. And, yeah, can't thank you enough. We really, really appreciate it. And we've had a lot of good feedback, too. We get a lot of tweets and emails and stuff. And
Thank you for all that.
Yeah, really appreciate it. Anyway, go see The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug this weekend. And be sure to check out the podcast. The MGC TV guys are, you want to hear from them. They're really great.
Absolutely. So it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. So definitely check it out. And we'll see you guys next time on the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film Segment. You're listening to the Incession Film Podcast. God damn it. My mind is everywhere tonight.
Hey, it's cool, man.